NBC presents The Adventures of Frank Merriwell. There it is, an echo of the past, an exciting past, a romantic past. The era of the horse and carriage, gaslit streets, and free-for-all football games. The era of one of the most beloved figures in American fiction, Frank Merriwell. Merriwell is loved as much today as ever he was. And so the National Broadcasting Company brings him to radio in a new series of stories based on the famous books written by Gilbert Patton under the pen name Bert L. Standish. Today, The Duplicate Dean. This is the week of the annual senior frolic of the AO Dramatic Society, and Frank Merriwell has been named chairman of the committee putting on the show. And so, late on Thursday afternoon, we find Frank, Bart, and Inza Burridge in a small rehearsal room at Dwight Chapel.
Honestly, Bart, I can't get over the way you look in that dress.
I can't get over it either. I'd like to know how I let Frank talk me into playing the part of a girl in this darn show.
Oh, cut it out, Bart. You'll be the hit of the evening. You know it. But read that line again now.
All right, I'll try.
Remember the way I told you to stand.
Like this?
That's perfect.
Now, remember, you're supposed to be pleading to the dean not to expel your brother. Put a little feeling into it.
All right. Please, Dean Clark, you are an honorable man. You can't refuse a helpless girl this one request. How's that?
Well, not bad that time. But don't try to make your voice so high. Just to talk in a normal way. We'll go over it with Harry when he's ready.
Oh, incidentally, what's keeping Harry?
Well, he's getting into costume. He wants to make himself up to look as much like Dean Clark as possible. He should be along any minute.
Yeah, I still wish I could back out of this. The whole football squad's laughing at me by now.
Oh, don't mind them, Bart. They're only teasing you.
I know, but it's getting so every time I meet someone on the campus, he whistles at me and says, "Oh, you kid."
Oh, you're exaggerating.
Well, you're in this now, and you've got to go through with it.
And in the meantime, you better practice the walk I taught you. You're still walking across the stage like a fullback.
Hi, everyone. Sorry I'm late.
That's all right, Harry. We've got time to rehearse your scene.
Come on, let's get it over with.
Oh, you kid.
There, you see what I mean?
Be careful, Harry. Bart's sensitive about his costume.
Hey, speaking of costumes, didn't anybody notice this? Here, wait, let me put on this wig. Ah, how's that?
Well, not bad at all, Harry.
Not bad, it's perfect. I've got his voice down to perfection, too. You want to hear it?
Go ahead, try.
I'm very sorry, young lady, but there is little I can do for your brother.
Hey, that's wonderful.
Oh, it sure is. Now, if you only looked a little more like the dean.
A little more like him? Why, I'm a dead ringer for him in this makeup.
Oh, I don't know about that, Harry. You wouldn't fool me.
Well, of course, that's because you know it's not Dean Clark. But I bet it could fool anybody else.
No, I hope so, Harry. This whole skit depends on the audience thinking you're really Dean Clark.
Now, they will. Don't you worry. I'll fool everybody in the house.
Well, I wish we could be sure, Harry.
Wait a minute, Frank. I'll prove it to you.
Prove it? Huh?
Yep. I'll walk into home and I'll wear this outfit. You and Bart can trail along behind me and watch. I'll bet you everyone we meet thinks I'm Dean Clark.
Oh, I doubt that.
So do I, Harry.
All right, then just let me try it. If I don't fool everyone we meet, I'll eat this wig.
What do you think, Ensign?
Well, let's take him up on it. It'll be fun to see what happens.
It'll be more fun watching him try to eat that wig for supper.
All right, Harry, it's a bet. But if we happen to pass the real Dean Clark, don't expect us to help you.
Watch the snow, Ensign.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Dean Clark.
Good evening, sir.
You fooled them all right, Harry. Did you see the way they all tipped their hats?
Well, I've fooled everyone we've met so far. I hope Frank and Bart are satisfied.
Uh-oh. Now you're in for it, though. Here comes Jack Diamond. He's a classmate of yours.
Don't you worry. He won't even know me. Watch.
Good evening, Dean Clark. Lovely evening, sir.
Most invigorating, Mr. Diamond. Most invigorating.
How's that?
You did it, Harry. You fooled Jack Diamond.
Well, I told you.
I can't get over how well you impersonate his voice.
Well, I ought to be good at it. I've worked on it for over 2 months.
Well, this should certainly satisfy Frank and Bart. Looks like you won't have to eat that wig after all.
Look, I didn't expect it when I made the bet.
Goodness, what's going on around the corner?
A fight.
Oh, those men are scuffling with that freshman.
The townies. And they're beating them up. Wait here, Enzo. I'm going to help him.
Wait, Harry, come back!
Enzo, what happened?
Oh, look over there. Some townies ganging up on a freshman. Harry's joining the fight.
Those are pretty husky brutes.
What are we waiting for, Frank?
Come on, we'll break this up.
Hey, Morgan, get that old guy.
Oh, here come reinforcements.
I'll teach you a lesson you won't forget.
Hey, Rigby, let's get out of here. They got us outnumbered.
Better get out of here. Haven't you had enough?
Go on, Frank. Let him have it.
Now, wait. Don't hit me again.
Come on, Morgan. Let's beat it.
All right, you said it. We'll get even with you guys for this, and don't you forget it.
Frank, Bart, are you all right? Nobody hurt, is there?
Well, just a few bruised knuckles, Enza. Those townies took to their heels quickly enough.
Oh, you sure gave it to them, Harry.
They weren't so tough. Why, they didn't even knock off my wig.
Say, speaking of the wig, Harry, we owe you an apology. You certainly fooled everyone we met.
Including those townies. Did you see that black guy Harry gave the big one?
No, I'll say I did. He's one townie who can boast that Yale left its mark on him. What time is it getting to be, Bart?
10:45. Oh, it's almost time to leave for that special assembly.
Yes, we'd better get ready.
Oh, I wish I knew what it was all about. It must be important. Dean canceled all classes for it.
Well, you got me. He only does that on very special occasions.
I know. Hey, fellas.
Oh, morning, Harry. Come in.
Hey, didn't you hear the news?
What news?
Something to do with the special assembly?
I'll say it has something to do with it. I just came from a geology class, and that's all everybody's talking about.
Well, come on, let us in on it.
Don't worry, you are in on it.
Huh? What do you mean?
There's a story going around town that there was a street brawl with a couple of townies last night.
Is that all? There's one of those practically every day.
Oh, you mean the one we were mixed up in? Well, that's no reason to call a special assembly of the whole student body.
You'll change your mind when you hear the rest of it. The story going around is that the ringleader in this street brawl was none other than Dean Clark himself.
That's what? Ridiculous. Whoever dreamed that one up?
What, don't you see, Bart? It was that blame costume of mine.
Say, that's right.
Those townies actually thought I was Dean Clark.
Well, no wonder that Dean has called the assembly. If this weren't so serious, it'd be funny.
Well, it isn't funny to me, I can tell you that. What do you think he'll do, Frank?
Well, the Dean, I don't know. Of course, we'll have to explain what happened. We never bargained for anything like this.
Gosh, I hope he listens to reason. I wish I hadn't made that bet with you fellas now.
Yeah, so do I. Well, this is liable to put all of us in a pretty bad mess.
And especially me. After all, I was the one dressed up like him.
Well, Bart and I are just as much responsible as you, Harry. We'll stick together in this thing.
Well, sure
thanks,
thing.
Frank.
But there's no use getting all excited about it until we find out what the Dean is going to say at assembly. It'll be soon enough to start worrying after that.
Well, anyhow, we don't have long to wait. Come on, it's time to get over to chapel.
He looks mad enough, all right.
We'll find out. Here he goes.
Gentlemen, please. Please, gentlemen. Gentlemen! Gentlemen, I have brought you all together this morning to discuss a very serious and painful matter. I've been well aware that for a long time there have been a series of incidents between Yale students and a certain rowdy element from the town. I'm quite aware that this is no fault of the students in the university. Town authorities have assured me of that fact time and again. Nevertheless, these incidents have culminated in an outlandish and personally embarrassing manner. Last night, a scuffle took place not far from the campus. This morning, I was informed that the town rowdies had identified me as the ringleader.
Here it comes.
Listen to this.
I can see by your expressions that you're surprised. Well, let me assure you that you are no more surprised than I. For, of course, there's been a mistake. I can hardly assure anyone here of that. But from all reports I've received, it appears that a deliberate attempt has been made to impersonate me. Now, this is to warn you that I am ordering an investigation made at once, unless the person or persons responsible for this outrageous act come to my office before 3 o'clock this afternoon with a satisfactory explanation, I shall take the most drastic steps possible. Furthermore, it is my duty to warn which one of you that is behind this, that if I learn it was a deliberate attempt to ridicule or degrade me, I shall have no alternative but to recommend that student's immediate expulsion from Yale. That's all, gentlemen.
Wow, what a speech. The dean sure was hopping mad.
Well, I can't say that I blame him, Harry.
But do you think that he meant that about expelling the students responsible for this?
Well, he didn't look like he was fooling to me.
No. Oh, this is a fine thing. This is the worst mess we've ever been in.
Now, wait a minute, Bart, before you start packing your bags. Dean Clark is a reasonable man.
I know.
And if you remember his words exactly, he said, unless a logical explanation could be given.
You mean, if we tell him the whole story, he'll see that it wasn't a deliberate attempt to ridicule him?
I think so, Harry. After all, we already had his permission to impersonate him in our show.
That's true. We could tell him we were having a dress rehearsal.
We'll tell him the exact truth, Bart.
You mean about the bet and everything?
Well, why not? There wasn't anything wrong there. We were just trying to make sure that your makeup was realistic enough for the show, Harry. Dean Clark is good sport enough to understand about that.
Well, I hope you're right, Frank.
I certainly wouldn't want any of us to get expelled.
Well, no matter what happens, Bart, we've got to go to Dean Clark's office and tell him the whole truth. And I don't see any reason for putting it off. Come on.
Yes, gentlemen?
We've come to see Dean Clark, Mr. Blair.
The dean is busy right now. Could you make it later on this afternoon, Mr. Merriwell?
I'm afraid not. You see, it's about the announcement he made in assembly.
Oh, I see. Well, come in, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Someone is in the office with him right now, but if you would care to wait...
Oh, we'll wait.
I feel like a condemned man.
So do I, Harry. I'm beginning to wish I hadn't eaten a hearty breakfast.
Oh, stop worrying, you two. It'll work out.
Oh, Blair?
Yes, Dean Clark.
Will you step in here a moment, please?
Yes, sir. Excuse me, gentlemen.
Blair, this gentleman is Mr. Kroll, a local attorney.
How do you do, sir?
I want you to take notes on what he's saying.
Yes, sir.
Go on, Mr. Kroll.
Well, there isn't much more to say. My clients are quite firm in this matter.
And what are their names again?
Mr. Morgan and Mr. Rigby. Both men were severely shaken up and bruised in that affair last night, and they demand full damages from you.
Oh, but I tell you this, it's absurd. You know very well that I had no part in that street brawl.
I beg your pardon, Dean Clark. I only know what my clients have told me. Both men are willing to swear in court that you were the ringleader in the fight.
Oh, confounded man, can't you see for yourself? It's ridiculous. I look like the sort of an individual who would engage in public fisticuffs?
Dean Clark, in the dark, all cats look gray.
The whole thing is nothing more than an attempted swindle.
Then you refuse to settle out of court, I presume?
Of course I refuse. That would be tantamount to admitting that I took part in the affair.
Are you prepared to prove that you were not?
Well, how can I prove it?
Where were you at the time?
At home in my study, reading.
And no one was with you?
No, of course not. But I failed to see...
I'm sorry, Dean Clark. I can only advise you to settle out of court. You'll pay in the end anyhow, and there'll be far less publicity that way.
Publicity? You know very well there'll be scandalous publicity, whether I choose to fight this case or not.
I can't very well help that. Now, sir, this is your last chance. Will you settle, or must my clients bring you into court?
No, I will not settle. Let them bring me into court if they dare. I'll find some way to prove my innocence.
My dear sir. Well, Dean Clark, we can clearly get nowhere. Thank you for your time, sir, and good day.
Good afternoon. Oh, heavens, this is terrible. Well, Blair, don't sit there staring.
Yes, sir. It's just that I was surprised.
Not too surprised to take full notes, I trust. You have them transcribed for me?
Yes, sir. Right away, sir. I nearly forgot. Three gentlemen, Mr. Merriwell, Mr. Hodge, and Mr. Rattleton, are waiting to see you, sir.
Oh, can't you send them away until later, Blair? I'm terribly upset.
They said it was important, sir. It has something to do with your announcement at assembly.
Assembly? Good heavens, not those three. Blair, you quite sure that's what they came to see me about?
Yes, sir. And they seemed quite upset themselves.
Well, I shouldn't wonder. Send them in, Blair. This should prove to be a most instructive interview.
Well, sir, that's about the whole story. It was a harmless experiment on our part, sir. We felt we had to try it for the sake of the show.
I see. Well, in one sense, Mr. Merriwell, I'm relieved.
Oh.
Relieved, that is, to learn that this was not a deliberate prank on the part of you students. Ordinarily, I'd be perfectly willing to let the whole matter drop.
Ordinarily? I don't understand, sir.
Well, there have been complications, gentlemen.
Oh?
The man who just left my office is Mr. Kroll. He's a local attorney.
Attorney?
He came here representing two town people who took part in that last night's unfortunate affair. They're suing me for damages.
But suing you, Dean Clark?
Why?
They can't do that.
Well, I rather think they can, Mr. Rattleton. They're prepared to come to court and swear that I was the instigator of the brawl.
That's impossible, sir. They could never prove that.
Perhaps not in the long run, Merriwell, but the mere existence of the shadow of a doubt is a blot. Not only on my own name, but that of the university.
And there's no way you can get them to settle this out of court, Dean Clark.
Not without paying their damages, which, of course, would be practically admitting their charge. Absolutely impossible.
Gosh, this is worse than I thought.
But, Dean Clark, if it could be proved beyond any doubt that this was a case of mistaken identity, what then? Couldn't you file a countersuit?
Well, yes, or better still, I could stop their suit before it started.
Well, that's rather a tall order, Mr. Merrill. Mere testimony of Yale students could hardly be considered unprejudiced.
That's true, Frank. Unless we could force those townies to admit the truth, there'd always be a doubt in the public's mind.
Exactly. You can see that you've made my position most awkward.
Well, all we can say, Dean Clark, is we're sorry. We're ready to take our punishment for it.
Well, Dean Clark, how soon do they plan to start their suit?
Once, I understand.
Then we've got to do something to stop them.
Well, that's easy enough to say, Frank. But what?
Sir, may we have your permission to go to see these two townies?
Well, yes, if you think it'll do any good. But I must warn you, no more battles with them of any sort. I understand.
Yes, sir. All I want to do is try to reason with them.
Very well. Mr. Blair, my secretary, has their names. Get them from him and see what you can do.
Yes, sir. And we'll report back to you as soon as we can.
Very well, gentlemen. And good luck to you.
They would live in the toughest section of town.
Well, what do you expect? I just hope they'll listen to reason. Do you think they will, Frank?
Well, that depends on what they're after. About all we can do is talk to them and see what they say.
Hey, wait a second.
What?
Are those the two fellas? Look. Look there through the window of this pool hall.
Sure. Sure, I'd recognize them anywhere. Look at that. One of them has his head bandaged.
Well, come on, let's go in and talk to them. Sorry to interrupt your game, gentlemen.
Shoot for me, will you, Hank?
Yeah, okay.
You want something, Bud?
Hey, I recognize him. And that other one, too. They were in that fight.
All three of us were in that fight.
Oh, no, not this one. I never saw him before in my life.
Well, I was there just the same. I was the one who jumped in first when you started beating up that freshman.
Hey, you're crazy. That was an old geezer. What was his name again, Morgan?
Dean Clark.
You ought to know his name, Rigby. You're suing him for assault.
Oh, you know about that, huh?
That's what we came here to talk to you about. Now, this boy's name is Harry Rattleton. He's the one you mistook for Dean Clark.
That's right.
Who are you trying to kid? This guy don't look anything like Dean Clark.
No.
Well, of course not, but I was wearing stage makeup at the time.
Well, look, Bud. If this is some kind of dodge to get us to call off our lawsuit, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
But it's the truth.
Sure it is. You don't think a man like Dean Clark would pitch into a street brawl the way Harry did?
Besides, he couldn't hit that hard. Take a look at your face.
Yeah, we don't have to. We're going to collect for every one of these lumps and collect big.
Now, look, fellas. If you go through with this crazy suit, you're liable to wind up in a mess of trouble.
Listen to who's talking about trouble, Rigby. That's a good one, huh?
Yeah, wait till you see the spot your dean is going to be in. I never liked you high-hat Yale guys, and this is the best chance I ever had to get back at you.
That goes for me, too. Now, move along if you don't want another fight on your hands.
Yeah. I'd like to see you start one.
Oh, you would, huh?
Yes,
call
I
a couple
would.
Of gang up.
Oh, all
here.
Right, come on. Hold it. Take it easy, Bart.
Remember the dean's warning. All right, you two. If you won't listen to reason, we'll find another way to stop you.
Yeah, I'd like to see you try.
Yeah, so would I.
Don't worry, we will.
Come on, Bart. Harry, let's get out of here.
Well, that was a waste of time. We accomplished exactly nothing.
It's pretty discouraging, all right, Harry.
But we can't stop now. There must be some way to call off that suit.
I'd like to know how. You saw what kind of men they are, Frank. They'd never listen to reason. If you ask me, they're doing this whole thing just to show up the university.
That's what I think, Bart. Now I guess with this lawsuit hanging over everybody's head, well, we'll have to call off the senior frolics tonight.
Hey, that's right. We could never do that scene with you impersonating the dean, Harry.
You're telling me? Well, that would really...
Bart, Harry, hold on.
What's the matter, Frank?
I just had an idea. I think I see a way out of this.
You do? What? How?
Well, it all depends on their lawyer. Now, what did the dean say his name was?
Kroll.
That's it.
Sure. I know where his office is. Just a couple of blocks up Chapel Street.
Then we're going to see him right now.
That's right, gentlemen. I represent Mr. Morgan and Mr. Rigby. What can I do for you?
We've just been talking to your clients, Mr. Kroll.
We tried to get them to call off this suit.
And they refused, of course.
They sure did.
They wouldn't even listen to us when we tried to tell them that Harry Rattleton here was the one they mistook for the dean in that street brawl.
Well, I shouldn't wonder. Why, this boy looks no more like Dean Clark than I look like Teddy Roosevelt.
But I was made up to look like him, don't you understand? I even imitated his voice. Listen.
My dear Mr. Kroll, you simply must believe our story.
Please,
you see, sir?
Gentlemen, I'm a busy man. I can't waste time listening to your amateur theatricals. If my clients insist on pressing charges, there's nothing more to be said about the matter.
But there is, sir. Now, you're a reputable attorney here in New Haven. You can't risk making a laughingstock of yourself in a case of this sort.
I see no danger of that, young man. The case looks airtight to me.
Not quite airtight, sir. Now, you have two witnesses willing to swear that Dean Clark took part in the fight. We have four to swear that it was really Harry Rattleton. It's our word against theirs.
I see your point. But as long as there's any chance of winning, my clients are determined to go ahead with it.
Oh, sure. Why wouldn't they? They've got nothing to lose by holding the dean of Yale University up to public ridicule.
Wait, Clark. Mr. Kroll, under the circumstances, will you listen to a reasonable proposition?
I'll listen to a reasonable proposition under any circumstances, Mr. Merrill. What's on your mind?
Well, the Yale Dramat is putting on a show tonight at Lyceum Hall, the Senior Frolics.
What about it?
I'd like you and your two clients to attend that show. I can arrange to have tickets for you at the box office.
Frank, what's the idea?
I'll explain later, Harry. What about it, Mr. Kroll? Will you do it?
This is most unusual.
Well, I assure you it has a direct bearing on the case. You won't be sorry. How about it?
Well, I can't promise to deliver my clients, but I shall certainly try, as a matter of fact. I'd rather like to see the show anyway.
Well, your clients will come if you tell them it's important enough.
Well, I think so. We'll be there, Mr. Merriwell.
Good. The curtain is at 8:30. Good day, sir.
Good day, gentlemen.
Now, we've got to work fast, and our next stop is Dean Clark's.
Hey, what's he up to, Bart?
Blamed if I know, but this ought to be good.
All right, curtain.
Oh, that was a wonderful first act, Frank. The audience loved it.
I think it went pretty well, all right. Here comes Bart. Hey, nice going, Bart.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I certainly feel like a fool out there in this dress, though. Hi, sir.
Hello, Bart. It's a grand performance so far. You make a very convincing heroine.
I wish I could take that as a compliment. Never again, believe me.
Oh, by the way, Frank, where's Harry? I haven't seen him.
Well, the dean doesn't appear until the next scene. But don't worry, you'll see him.
Well, how about Kroll and his two clients, Frank? Are they up front? I couldn't see across the footlights.
Oh, I think so, but we better make sure. The house lights are up for intermission. I'll take a look through the peephole. Look out for that
flat. You see them?
Yes. There they are. Kroll seems to be enjoying himself. Those two townies don't look any too happy.
Oh, just wait. Fun hasn't begun for them yet. How about the dean's party?
They're sitting up there in that box to our left. Everything's all set.
What's this all about, Frank? You've never explained your plan to me.
I didn't have time, Inza. We had so much to do right before the show. Anyhow, you might get more fun out of it if you're surprised yourself.
Oh, I think that's mean. I'm dying of curiosity. The least you can do is tell me about it now.
I'll do better than that. I'll let you see for yourself. We're going to watch the next act from the audience. We have seats right next to Kroll and his client.
He can't speak his lines until the audience stops laughing.
Are you enjoying the show, Mr. Kroll?
Why, George, yes. And that fellow Rattleton, oh, that's a remarkable makeup job. He looks quite a lot like the dean.
That's what I wanted you to see. You can hardly tell the difference.
He still doesn't fool me. How about you, Rigby?
Nah, I'd know him from the real dean any time.
Now, wait. They're going on with their lines now.
I beg of you, do not expel my poor brother from Yale. It will break his mother's heart.
I am sorry, madam. I have no alternative. Your brother must pay for his misdeed.
But Lionel is so young, so impulsive.
Youth, madam, is no excuse for disloyalty to his alma mater.
But my brother's always been a true blue son of Eli Dean Clark. Even as a young boy, he insisted on wearing shoes with bulldog toes.
Oh, Harry, doing a wonderful job for me.
A better job than you suspect, Enzo. Now watch, here comes the finish.
Nevertheless, your brother Lionel must go.
Then there's only one course left for him. We shall survive this disgrace somehow. Lionel must go to...
No, madam, not that. Anything but that.
Yes, Dean Clark. It's a cruel punishment. But Lionel will be brave. Tomorrow morning he will enroll at Harvard.
Oh, they were both wonderful, weren't they?
Well, there you are, Mr. Kroll. That's the end of the act.
Well, it's very entertaining, my boy, but I feel...
I know what your game is, Merriwell.
You didn't convince us. Sure, he looks something like Dean Clark, but he wasn't the one in that fight.
Are you certain of that?
Why, sure we are. You could tell he was just made up.
Then perhaps you can point out the man who was in the fight.
You're darn right we can. That's him, sitting up there in that box.
Are you sure? Would you be willing to swear to it in court?
Sure I will. So would Rigby.
There you are, Mr. Merriwell. You haven't proved a thing.
Haven't I? We'll see. All right, Harry, you can take off the wig now.
Oh, but Frank, Harry's not... Oh, for goodness sake.
Hey, that guy in the box.
The dean.
For your information, the gentleman in the box is not Dean Clark at all, but Harry Rattleton, the same one who took part in that fight.
Heavens to Betsy. You mean that actor on the stage was actually Dean Clark?
Merriwell, you tricked us.
You done right he did. But we're going right on with our suit.
We're two idiots.
You haven't a leg to stand on. I wash my hands of the whole affair. Do you think I want to be the laughing stock of New Haven? No, sir. This case is closed.
I was sure you'd see it that way, Mr. Kroll. Come on, Inza. I'll take you backstage.
I saw their faces from the stage, the scoundrels. Oh, they were completely confounded.
I just can't get over it, Dean Clark. I never dreamed that was you there on the stage, playing in a farce comedy skit.
Well, that's exactly what I was counting on, Inza. When I asked them to point out the real Dean Clark, I was certain they would choose Harry.
Well, I was scared for a minute, though. Gosh, it seemed like everyone in the theater was looking at me.
But Dean Clark there on the stage. Honestly, I can't get over it.
Really, my dear, it shouldn't come as too great a shock. In my student days, I was one of the leading lights in the Elder Man.
I can believe that after tonight. You were the hit of the show, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Merriwell. I rather thought I gave an adequate performance.
Well, we've learned one thing out of this mess, Dean Clark. The next time we give a show, we won't try to impersonate you.
Yes. And we won't have any more female characters in it either. I've just made my first and last appearance as a leading lady.
And so ends another exciting adventure with Frank Merriwell, beloved hero of American fiction, brought to you in a new series of stories by the National Broadcasting Company. And be sure to listen again next week at this same time when Frank Merriwell returns in another of his celebrated exploits. Frank is played by Lawson Zerbe, Bart is Hal Studer, and Inza is Elaine Rost. Other members of the cast were Arthur Maitland, Art Carney, Philip Coolidge, Merrill E. Joles, and Marshall Jameson. Original music is by Paul Taubman. The Adventures of Frank Merriwell is written by Ruth and Gilbert Braun and William Welch, and the entire production is under the direction of Ed King. This is Mel Brand speaking.